Part 3. Opening the Floodgates. One Venetian told me that it's just an Italian thing to complain about their city, and it's no different for Venice. Everyone has something to say, but plenty of people also have solutions. On one of my last days in the Veneto, I met an influential Venetian author who stages public cultural events wherever he goes. Alberto Tosofe is a charismatic and concerned man who has developed one very special new program to reinvigorate Venice.
Everything was bought a week ago in a very, very, fast way. It was Friday morning, and a thousand times I passed a bridge of Venice that was full of locks. And it is unbearable. It's not only a matter of beauty of what you are seeing. Mm-hmm. It represents.
Right.
It's really a kind of offense and not taking care of the place that is giving you hospitality.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so we Venetians are pretty known in the last years as Brontoloni.
Grumpy. We get really Brontoloni is an old grumpy.
You know,
man.
Like, it's pretty hard. You know, when you are taking a boat, when you are trying to leave your
go to the market, and you can't walk. You're
doing anything.
Your very daily
day
life,
hard.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything is too much. Mm-hmm. Everywhere there are too many persons.
And
you know?
It makes you grumpy. Mm-hmm.
So Friday, this is what in a couple of hours everything was.
It was incredible.
And the response
because
has
we
been
were,
incredible
yeah,
too.
Yeah. It was also surprising me, not completely, but. But yes, at last.
But I think the Venetians are looking for a positive way to
respond. We were waiting for something similar.
Yes.
Right.
And so everyone was ready to respond, you know, to the call.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really great because we did it really with a smile, you know, in our faces. We did it in a very light way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good first step.
Unlock Your Love is just one step in the direction of saving Venice from tourism. Maybe it will spark a larger fire of change. For, as Alberto said, Venice is for everyone, but not of everyone. People do live there. Piero bends the plow into walnut heart, breaks ground, veins and furrows, whispers, soon, 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 in the rhythm of his strokes. Soon, soon, retort the curls as they drip to the worked concrete. Piero Dri, a young oarsmith in the city, has particular views on how to live in Venice.
And so, my aim when I opened my workshop was to try to create some, not customers, but a way to live in Venice. That, in my opinion, is the correct way, the right way. Mm. So I want to try to extend the use of the oars, because it's a beautiful way to stay here in Venice.
He has a quaint and charming shop, lined with wood chips, that one cannot help but want to touch. This tactile appeal is part of what Piero finds so exciting about Venetian life. The shards Piero left rattle on the concrete. Glass left to rot gutterwise. The walnut shattered, heart gutted. Left like Paolo's Venice in gutters. Young Piero dreams in shards obsidian. Dark as day and infinite as zero.
Maybe the thing that helped me every day to wake up in the morning and come see her in this workshop to work, because I believe very strongly that we have, for the future, we have to come back to the past. Mm-hmm. Because in the past the way I live is maybe more poor or difficult, but the man has to were able to see the real aspect of the nature of the world around us, okay, mm-hmm. without iPad, iPhone, and so on. Mm-hmm. So I believe in this.
If we go back to the past, as Piero suggests, maybe we will preserve Venice. But will it be against the grain of the modern era? Will we stick Venice in the past, unable to move forward? Alberto's idea of preservation isn't as radical, and perhaps educating the visitors of Venice is a better way of preserving its history. Paolo and Alessia both believe in educating everyone about their
world. Quella è la sua bottega. Va bene? Venezia è solo il biglietto da visita.
Okay, so he's saying what would be needed to create this group of artisans in Venice, you see, would be could be a school. And he will come and describe what kind of school he's thinking of. But he needs, the artisanship would need people who are really passionate about it. They are culturally prepared. They have studied and they are intelligent. But they have to have the passion for doing the job that is required for artisanship.
I hope that one day we can have here in Murano, okay, a big center to share our knowledge, okay, mm-hmm. and you know a place where people can come from all around the world to see how we work here in Murano.
Not everyone is as optimistic about Venice's traditions. Sergio wants to put some perspective on the problem.
Maybe it's the time to stop the carnival, because this carnival has nothing to do with the carnival. I understand how important. Well, you know, it's like you are going to die and you don't understand that you are dying.
If we could stop the advance of time, of the economy, or tourism, or climate change, wouldn't we do so? It would be so nice for Venice to be the pause that we all need in our busy modern world, to stop and smell the roses or the Adriatic. Time marches on, and we have to find a way to adapt.
I really, really be honest, without American customers, I think I crossed the store maybe 20 years ago. Mm. They still help me to believe in what I'm doing. The only customer really then. Mm. Enjoyed me in the things, so mm. I respect a lot. Mm. I like if I can stay more, I can in the States. In Europe, mm. too many snobby people, too many people then, or snobby or no education. So it's so difficult to jump from one way to another one. I mean, it's now 30 years, you know, closing the store like this one, stand up, working 12 hours a day for 6, sometimes 7 days a week. 30 years is a long life of work, you know.
Your voice alights on my arm hair, a whiff of cigar smoke, caramel and ghostly. Cities die, let them. Black thing to say. I patter around it as you swell. Graces and fits filled her once, leaning trailing wisps filtering down waning streets. What would your Venice look like? The Via has never been so desperate as when first I conjured your face from the gloom of the bridge, filling the air above these cobbles with silhouettes, hiding me from us and quelling my mooning. I don't have the taste for it, but you blind your ears and with encompassing hands offer up. Not the Adriatic can know this. It is a song. It is a simple melody. You dredged me and scooped out some things not so sparkling, molded and baked them sunside in the Mediterranean, replaced them using her gentle hands, and something clicked, and of a sudden I saw and was renewed with waves passionate and nuclear fusions, small clicks, and I was renewed, and I saw beneath Rialto a new living organismal inheritance, a stonework of lungs, a transmission of protonic plasma breathing through a truly extended interior, a body, a stonework, the white cells and the red floating gondoliers and fishmen and the fish and the floating shit and the nucleotides, the algae of every wondrous building, every edifice, marrow, every canal, vein, a new living organismal I cannot, and so hemorrhage. Death to the old, cities die, let them. Part 4. Futurists for Venezia.
The most big challenge is not educate 20 million people a year, but is make them become Venetians.
The visitors?
Yeah.
When they're here?
Yeah.
Have them become Venetian.
And send back them in their places, you know, as ambassadors.
It meant something, you know, it was like... People live here, and people love the city, and people need this city to be for them too, you know.
But then there are millions, fortunately, millions of people around the world who love Venice. You know?
Uh-huh.
Laura is I think, a living example, you know, of it, because Venice, during its long history, you know, experimented it. You know, Venetians are not only people who were or are born here, you know. Venetians everywhere in the world are people who love this town and act for it. Venetians are people who love Venice. Stop.
I never forgot, you told me that the first time we met, and I've always loved that. You told me that years ago.
This is, you know, during, but you know, 500 years ago, 600 years ago, it was so. Many people was born here, you know. I was born here for chance. But
that's right.
But later, I choose this town as mine. This is the real movement. This is Be Venetian.
I think it's the only way Venice will survive.
Yes, absolutely. It's a new, not even new, but it's a different definition of Venetian. And that's a viable
but
way
was,
for the city
it was,
to...
I want to, you know, it is not only poetry. It was for real. You know, in 1630, when 80,000 Venetians died for plague, you know, the government opened the door and let new people come in. From everywhere. And they were Venetians.
Right. They became Venetian.
And they became Venetian, yeah. We have to educate the people. We have to educate the visitors. We have to educate ourselves about the world and how it works. We cannot ignore what is thrust in front of us. Through communication, we can make others Venetian, to love Venice, to respect Venice, and to respect the cultures and traditions of others. Communication is the only way that we, as non-government officials, non-scientists, can effect change in a global economy, a global climate, changing, not for the better.
In my opinion, you know, the problem is always a problem of communication. You know, and it's also the soul of the Unlock Your Love campaign. You have to transmit to the most high number of persons each year what's going on in this town. That if they are buying clearly a fake Murano glass, they are acting against the town.
In the golden age of the Venetian Empire, artisans shared among themselves within guilds. Can we, the educated on Venice, not share our knowledge? Disseminate the knowledge, let the word out, and change occurs. While we cannot directly affect the tides, perhaps now that climate change has been accepted by most in the scientific community, and Mohs nears completion, we may save Venezia.
The Mohs system appears to be an inventive barrier system.
The concept appears to be pretty straightforward and simple, which is always an important aspect when implementing a system. The implementation, construction, completion, and overall scope of the MOES project is pretty ambitious. The project looks to provide a mechanical barrier to produce an effect similar to barrier islands. The structures block the rough seas or storm surge to protect Venice and surrounding areas. On the surface, it seems like it would be effective for addressing one potential impact of climate change and preparing for that. Assuming that it's designed and implemented correctly, I would still have concern over other impacts from climate change, like rising normal sea level, increased runoff, increased temperatures. If the Adriatic does witness changing levels, the MOES project may not be appropriate for permanent deployment without restricting trade and vessel movement. It's a complex issue that's complicated by being controversial for a number of reasons. Generally speaking, proper mitigation efforts like the MOES project are a good start towards realizing that best case scenario. If local leaders continue to become even more proactive and the community makes a concerted effort, additional mitigation opportunities could be studied that would address more of the local conditions, such as improving drainage infrastructure. Assuming the successful MOES project, that is, that it achieves its goals with respect to storm surge and sea level rise, I would say that is a good indicator for the best case scenario. So with the right preparation, planning, and implementation, Venice may fare well and continue on as it is today. However, that assumes action. Realistically, I see a scenario more in the middle where Venice would rely more on adaptation because sea level and other effects of climate change couldn't be fully mitigated due to the scope of the efforts required.
Cities die, let them. It has some sense. But one will die and another dawn in its place. Which city has survived? Not one intact. They have all died, one after the other. Birth of Venezia from the ashes of her former tenant. The tide rises, winter approaches. With my friend Laura, on my last days in Venice, we witnessed the coming of the Sirocco, a chill wind through the lagoon. We saw the light turning burnt orange over the rooftops of canal-side palazzos. And we discussed the future, not only of our own lives, but of the city we love so dearly.
What do you want to know? I'll tell you anything. You have 30 seconds and then I'm not telling you anything.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Tick. Tick.
So, tick. Who are the future inhabitants of Venice?
Oh, God, that's a really good question. I worry about that all the time. Because even for someone like me who is in love with this place, yeah, it's almost impossible to make a living here. It's really difficult.
Right.
And I think that's why people leave. They just can't survive economically.
Yeah.
Even if they love it more than anything, like I do. Like, I look in my future and I can't imagine not being here. But the reality is I probably won't last, but maybe another year or two. Because I'm tired. I had this conversation with my two friends who are Venetians and who are raising their kids here, who you met. And they just assume their kids will leave. And they're in their 40s and 50s, and they're part of a tiny group of Venetians that are left living here.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, the future inhabitants will be the Chinese who have taken over, are taking over, or tourists who are, not tourists, people who buy holiday apartments here and come for a week or two a year. And a few people left to run the businesses they need.
Yeah. So you don't think there's any hope of rejuvenating?
Not unless something very, very drastic happens, starting with the government. And because it's no longer just Venice, it's part of the country of Italy, Rome doesn't seem to give a shit about what's happening in Venice.
Yeah.
The Venetians don't care about what's happening in Venice.
Yeah.
The Venetian government does not do anything. They do nothing at all to keep Venetians here.
Right. Because it's money for them.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what their priority is, but there is no movement. I mean, they have a program, for example. My friend bought his apartment with a loan given by the government to Venetians to buy their starter apartment.
Oh.
there's a lot of stipulations to it. They have to stay for X number of years. They can't rent it out. There's all these stipulations on it. But they do something small to help people buy apartments. But they've got three kids, and they're living in a one-bedroom apartment. They can't do that. And anyway, but that's, I don't know all the details. They do some things, but they're not doing enough to keep people here.
Right.
When the 80 and 90-year-olds die, the 70, 80, 90-year-olds are dying. You see the funeral notices on all the corners, you know, those pictures? Those are all funeral notices. They're dropping like flies. When they're gone, most of the population will be gone here. I think the statistic was there were only like 2,000 babies born here last year.
Wow.
Population is under 58,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish it was me. I don't think it's going to be me.
I wish so too.
The bard knows that glare. I was always more a ringman myself. But both Joe and Dick agree on this C-spread. The sacred level is compromised, my prince. Time to look for higher ground. This podcast was brought to you by the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting. Thank you for listening. For more of my project, Venetian Artisanship and Climate Change, be sure to check the Pulitzer Center website, pulitzercenter.org, and my own website, reshoemaker.com. I would like to extend a huge thank you to everyone interviewed for this podcast, for granting their hospitality to me, and for their excitement regarding the project. I would especially like to thank Sally Spector, who was an integral link throughout the course of the project, as well as Judy Harvest and Laura Susunis, whose friendship guided me through the city. And a big thanks to Kem Sawyer and everyone at the Pulitzer Center. Without you, this could not have happened. Grazie mille!